So, a 500 quid pay rise to MLAs. They've deserved it, haven't they? They've worked really hard for you. Actually, some of you, quite a few of you, might think that that is the case. But what does it say about Northern Ireland and our Northern Irish politicians, that while they cannot deliver for you in terms of a functioning executive, they are getting a pay rise? Are you getting a pay rise? If you're a nurse, a teacher, whatever else category it is in the public service, are you getting a pay rise? They're getting one. And it kicks in on April Fool's Day. Now, the former PSNI Assistant Chief Constable, Alan McQuillan, is saying that MLA's pay should actually be stopped if there is no deal within 3 months. He says that for them to continue in full pay and expenses would anger the public. Yesterday, the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, was asked if he would stop the salaries of Stormont MLAs if the impasse drifts on. And he said all options are under consideration. In other words, he sat on the fence and really said nothing in terms of answering that question. But one of his predecessors, Owen Paterson, suggested the politicians involved should not be paid if they cannot reach agreement.
There is one measure which could put pressure on the parties to come back to the talks and might crystallise minds, and that would be to make it clear that should the elected members not form an executive after a lengthy period of negotiation, then their salaries and their expenses will not be paid from the public purse.
We're currently getting in touch with all the political parties to ask if their MLAs will be taking the pay rise or not. And of course, we will let you know what they say. Alan McQuillan with us this morning, the former PSNI Assistant Chief Constable. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Lembit Opic, the former Lib Dem MP. Good morning, Lembit.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So, Alan, set out what you're saying here.
Well, what I've suggested is that they really should give the Secretary of State should set a time horizon and say that we want these talks to succeed. We want to get the institutions back. But if you can't agree within this reasonable time span, and I suggest 3 months, then the payment's stopped. It's not just the matter of the pay too and the pay raise. There is also the financial assistance, the political parties scheme. We're clicking over into a new financial year, and collectively, the parties are entitled under the FAP scheme to get around £750,000 divided up amongst them for party political activity. So all of it, I think, needs looked at, and there needs to be a very clear time horizon set in place. I know Lambert and I have talked about this in the past, but if we can't reach agreement, we can't let what happened the last time we finished up in this situation, where for 5 years it dragged on, and people were paid for doing nothing for 5 years.
You know, this first line in the Beltel today, how do you think, Alan, the public are going to receive this? Under fire, I'll read from the paper, under fire Stormont politicians are getting a pay rise on April Fool's Day.
Well, it just happens to be an April Fool's Day.
To be in a period where they can't deliver for us anymore.
Absolutely. When the panel did its report, it was about January, February of 2016. At that point, we were looking at forecasts of inflation about 0.6%. But we had to put in place a scheme because of defects in our legislation. We had to put in place a scheme that could last 5 years. And therefore, we built into it a small escalator that if inflation tripped over 1%, they would get a 1% rise. So if inflation was 3%, they'd still just get a 1% rise.
Do they have to take it?
We built into the legislation, we framed it in such a way they don't have a choice. It is paid to them.
All right. Well, there's no point.
That was because of problems before, where we had politicians coming out saying, I'm not taking it. And then 2 months later, they quietly raided and said, people might not have it. And the money was paid to them.
So there's no point just getting in touch with political parties then. They have to take it.
The way we frame the determination, they are paid the raise, they are paid the salary.
What time period are you saying their pay should be stopped? After how long?
Well, I think a reasonable period would be a further 3 months. Don't forget, we've already had a number of months already where nothing has happened effectively. So what we suggested last week is that we should give them a reasonable period to reach an agreement, and after that point, then the salaries should stop, but that the notice should be given now so that, above all, they and their staff know what the position is.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 180 MLA staff here sitting waiting to see what happens in this because their jobs are at risk.
Yeah, but it's not
the MLAs themselves are sitting, and they don't know if they're going
but
to
they're still
a job.
Doing that. They may not be delivering in terms of an executive delivering. They may not be able to arrive at that, to be able to do that because of a lack of agreement. But they're still doing constituency business.
Well,
and indeed there would be others like Jim Allister who would say, well, look, he doesn't want an executive. It doesn't mean he's not working.
They're still doing some constituency business. But let's be clear about this. We don't have a functioning government here. We have a holding exercise where the civil service are managing the budget. We don't have ministers to make representations to. We don't have that system in place. And I don't think, from my discussions with people in the past and everything that I have seen in the opinion polls that have been carried out, the public are saying, no play, no pay. If you're not going to give us a government back, we don't need to pay you for it.
But Brokenshire hasn't called it, has he?
No, he has, because he's desperate to keep them talking. And he's right to keep them talking. We want a solution here. But I think that the issue is it can't drift on and on and on. The last time it drifted for 5 years. People were paying salaries and expenses for 5 years. And when we started the unravel...
It drifted for 5 years, they were paid right throughout that period.
They were paid right throughout that period, and I think it was 70% of salary plus expenses. And when we started to unpick that, because there were none of the normal democratic controls on the expenditure, during that period there were all sorts of highly questionable practices about where that money went and what it was spent on. It was leached off into the political parties. It wasn't spent in constituencies at all. You know, parties levied, in some cases, levied a subvention of $7,000 a year in the MLAs, and they just hoovered the money out of their accounts. We need to make sure that that's in place. We need to make sure there's democratic, effective financial control.
There are lots of different issues here, aren't there? So let's focus this, actually, on what we're talking about today, which is at a time when they cannot get a functioning government in Northern Ireland, they've been giving a pay rise. How do you feel about that? I was saying a matter of seconds ago, after Alan explained to us that, look, they can't opt not to take it. It's been pointed out to me, of course, they could opt to give it to charity, this extra 500 quid they're getting, in the spirit of, well, they're not a functioning government. It'll be interesting to see if any of them do that. 030-30-80-55-55. Patrick in Portadown, first call of the day. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, let me give you an example of what a farce it is. My sickness benefit goes up by £3 on the 15th of April, and on the 15th of April, I lose £3 housing benefit. Now, where's the justice in that?
How do you feel about this when you hear this morning?
Well, you've got Alan there. I mean, why didn't they write into the when they were agreeing the pays that if they weren't actually forming a government, why didn't they decrease the salaries to where you can get paid a constituency pay and not full MLA pay? I'm actually disgusted with the fact that they're getting £500 for nothing.
And Tommy and Carrickfergus. Morning, Tommy.
Stephen, I just want to put a wee point of view across. I, for the last 6-7 weeks now, have not...
Try to come back to you, Tommy. Can't hear you. Jim in Ballygally. Morning, Jim.
Hello.
Go ahead, Jim.
Stephen, you know, just... I have really no interest in politics. I just think the whole thing's a farce. But I wanted to just say that the British government in no way will stop the pay of the MLAs or reduce it. Don't forget, this is the greatest relief that Britain has got for a long time. People are not being killed on the streets. And there's a farce of a government in Northern Ireland. They don't want to be...
Well, there isn't a government in Northern Ireland.
But at least people are not being killed, so they don't really care. There's no way they're going to stop MLA pay because they're going to do nothing at all then, and then there's going to be a real crisis. So that's a nonsense. And the other point I want to make is, in terms of negotiation, I mean, you were asking politicians yesterday, are they in negotiations? The main negotiations are being done through your programme, not in Stirling.
Well, no, I very much doubt that.
Well, the points are made, and then they wait for the other party to respond, and then they make another point. That's as near as negotiations as they're having at the moment.
Limba Dopey, what's your view on this? Morning.
Well, as Alan says, he and I have clashed on this before, and I am implacably opposed to using politicians' salaries as a bargaining tool. I spent 10 years as Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland trying to get to the peace process situation that we now have, as you've just heard from your caller. Shouting's better than shooting, and you have to pay people to shout. And there are two other absolutely obvious points to me. Last week, I've worked with Motorcycle Action Group, so all kinds of bike policies go on. Last week, there was a meeting at the Department for Infrastructure to talk about motorbike safety. Even though the MLAs are loggerheads about the big stuff, the small stuff, and the process of governing stuff is on.
Were there MLAs there, or is it just civil servants?
It was civil servants.
Well, there you go.
Wait a minute.
Civil servants aren't getting the pay rise. We're not talking about that.
So we get to the second point here. If you start threatening those people with their salaries, two things will happen. One is some of them who are good will simply say, well, I can't live with this uncertainty. I've got to pay my mortgage. My family shouldn't be punished.
They're that good, they can't work together.
Well, wait a minute. You're going to lose some of the good people because, quite reasonably, their families will say, darling, we can't live like this. The kids still have to go to school. We have to pay our mortgage. You're punishing the families. And within that, you've already mentioned the 180 or so people who work for MLAs. If they're uncertain, you begin to corrode the systems that are there.
Let me sum up the counter-argument in one sentence. The Assembly isn't assembling.
It's not assembling, but it's still there.
It's not there.
Well, hang on a sec. You can say that, but it's just not true. We've already established that a certain amount of constituency work is going on. The MLAs will still be doing that.
The Assembly isn't assembling.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just get rid of democracy then, because you know what could happen if these people are paid and if the public really don't like it? They can wait for the next set of elections, and surely they'll come. Otherwise, we're in a catastrophic situation. Eventually, there'll be elections, and say we're only going to re-elect people who didn't accept.
Well, let's
the
take it. Well,
that
let's take it out of the political bubble. So there's a couple of people today, a couple of staff members today, working on the checkouts in Tesco's. Okay, and they go into their boss today, and they say, "Sorry, we can't work with each other." Do you think they would continue to get paid?
That's a ludicrous example.
Why is it a ludicrous example?
Because the answer is yes, of course, they'd carry on being paid. That would be a staff dispute, and the management would say...
I'm not sure management would put up with it for too long, I stand over the analogy in terms of the bosses in this situation are the public.
Right,
so are the public going to continue to pay these people while they can't do the job?
Let me work this example through. Your example. I've been there. I've managed people who couldn't get on, and what we did was we found a resolution. In one case, I remember, we actually put two people in different departments. We never, never said, if you two can't get on, we're going to dock your salary. It would be unthinkable in the private sector to blackmail people who can't get on to do that. And fundamentally, you seem to be completely brushing this aside. The constituency work continues. And when I was a member of parliament, the single most important thing I did day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, was work on the issues which were, at local level, really important to individuals, about
Alan?
Benefits, about everything else that goes with that. And they can still be paid for that.
Alan?
Yep. Well, there's an issue here, and I accept that there's some validity in what Limbert says. But the issue is, it's not just a matter of them doing constituency business. Who are they doing constituency business with? There's no government. There's no government. And we are the most over-governed part of the United Kingdom or Ireland. We have MPs, we have MLAs, we have councils. A lot of the representational work the MLAs do is actually stuff that the councillors also do.
That's exactly
so it's not
the
as though there's no other route.
He does, though, Alan, make a very, very strong argument that, look, you know, there are very bright minds up there. I've talked to quite a few of them. In fact, sometimes they use their bright minds to try to curtail what I do. But that's fine. That's the way it works. But you don't want to lose those very, very sharp, intelligent people who are forced to go elsewhere, Alan McQuillan. Because they have to pay the mortgage like the rest of us.
And a lot of MLAs are very well motivated, honest, decent people who want to do a job for their constituents. I've worked with them for something 7 years now, and I understand that. The big problem at Stormont always happens when you get the party machines involved, because the party machines involved are run, for the major parties, are run by small coteries of staff around the leadership. And very often the MLAs have very little influence in that. But what we need to do is change that to a position, in my view, where we have a functioning government and where the pressure comes from within the parties also to reach a deal.
We need to also be careful here that, you know, this is not, there are different views, so it would be unfair just to reflect the view that Northern Ireland isn't functioning if there isn't an executive, because there are some people who have the view that direct rule would be better for Northern Ireland than our local politicians working together. Let's make sure that we put that out there too. Stephen and Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, I've just been listening to Lambert Opic. You mentioned that the Assembly wasn't assembling. But OPIC had been dissembling. In his rationale for suggesting that MLAs would, those talented MLAs you've just been talking about, would run away from the Assembly elsewhere, he cited the fact that their families would be concerned about their children's education. Is Lambert OPIC, a former Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, not realise that in Northern Ireland, our education system is free at the point of care and delivery, and that there's only one private school in Northern Ireland?
But we're not getting into that this morning, are you? Are we? You're drawing us into education policy this morning.
Education, Stephen, is one of those arguments that I've heard about restoring. I heard it the other day from politicians, our MLAs. We need to get the Assembly back because of big issues such as health, and we're talking about the Royal, that disaster, 5 years. Why has it taken 5 years to figure out that the Royal Hospital hasn't been in operation? It sounds like the old days.
Stephen, thank you. June and Bunbridge. Morning, June.
Stephen.
Go ahead, June.
What about them people that are putting their notice on Friday that have mortgages, that have children to get to school, never mind MLAs, we have plenty of money? What about these wee creators that have jobs that are brilliant, but they still have a mortgage? Ask them about diamonds. What about
diamonds?
What's going to happen to them people?
Let's let Lambert speak
here, Jim. Yeah, right, fine. There are other people who have suffered injustice, but it's the easiest swipe in the world to say politicians don't deserve to be paid. One wrong doesn't justify another, and my response is very simple. We have come so far in the last 20 years, and we have some kind of a functioning political system, even if it's stalled at the moment. And
Hold on a minute. These people still are losing their jobs. MLAs lose their jobs because they're not working at the minute.
Think, June, about what MLA stands for. Member of the Legislative Assembly. So they're not legislating and they're not assembling.
Exactly right.
So maybe we should start calling them M's.
Yeah, you can play with those words. You can say that the pay rise is on the 1st of April, and I think Alan and I agree that the date doesn't really matter. There's a principle at stake here, and you've heard it from Alan, you've heard it from me. Alan says...
Well, you see these people that are going on notice on Friday, you're going to pay their wages too?
Well, this is all sorted out. Look, one wrong doesn't make another, and when you start saying, oh, well, let's just not pay the MLAs, you've got to look at the implications of this. You may not like the fact that the Assembly isn't assembling, to Steve Nolan's phrase, but actually, they are still in the frame. We still have a relatively peaceful Northern Ireland, and I didn't grow up in a peaceful Northern Ireland.
I'm not sure, though, then, but I'm not sure that you're taking June's point on board. So let me just spell it out again. Because of no agreement in Northern Ireland, there are youth service workers and community workers who do an incredibly good job on the ground in Northern Ireland whose jobs are at risk. Mm-hmm. Because there's no certainty of a budget over the next year. And some of those people have been told that they're getting notice that they may indeed lose their jobs. I was sitting in a youth facility surrounded by, what would it have been, maybe 30 or 40 young people just 2 weeks ago. And the youth worker sat in front of them and said to them, look, because of the political instability, you're probably losing some of the services from that youth service. The young people were distraught Now, the point that June is working, is making, is that while some of those community youth workers, who won't be on big money...
Right, let me answer that question.
They're losing their jobs. Meanwhile, the politicians are keeping their money.
Okay, I was trying to avoid getting drawn into this, but I'll answer your question directly. What would I do if I was the Secretary of State for Northland? And it's tricky. But on principle, June is completely right. And it's a slight digression, but I'll answer it. You've asked me a fair question. I would apply the same principle to them as I would to the MLAs. Yeah, it would cost even more. But it is correct. June is right on the principle that I've used for MLAs. The same principle should apply to others who are in jeopardy because the MLAs haven't reached an agreement on the budget. Now, there is a cost there. The reason it's tricky is because, in a sense, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland would have to intervene, and it's a kind of direct rule decision. Would I do that? I would do it because it's the lesser of evils. But I would then say, you MLAs need to get yourself sorted out because I have made this decision, and I'll make more decisions.
June,
if you do
okay,
not
go on,
June.
Out.
No, I still don't get it. I still say... Their wages should be stopped. If the poor people's wages can be stopped, MLAs can surely do without their wages.